remember that. And so when you're here the last 3 Sundays, including today, just being able to take a step back, to allow the Lord to stir in your heart what this season means. Last week we looked at peace. The fact that we have peace because we've been redeemed by Jesus. We've been reconciled and restored to relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that this peace that we have is tangible. It's real. It's present now. And it goes far beyond our own understanding of things. And not only that, it is in the future. It's part of our redemption. And there's blessings that come because we've been made right with the Lord. We're able to connect with Him, and the peace that He offers can reach into our situations. We've talked about hope and the fact that Jesus was born in the fullness of time, breaking the 400 years of silence, and He entered the world, and with that bringing hope to the entire world. So again, as a reminder, that the hope that we have, this new birth that we've all been given, being born again as we've come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that it initiates hope. That it's a present certainty, or present reality of a future certainty. Understanding that, again, hope is in the future, but hope is also now. We can trust in the Lord, and He gives us hope. Again, our living hope is guaranteed because Jesus is raised from the dead. And doing so secured our eternity and our salvation. Father, I thank You. Thank You this morning. Father, I pray that You would open our ears to hear and our eyes to see, that our hearts would be soft to receive what You have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's all good. This morning we're going to look for joy. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David. We sing songs, we sing joy to the world, we sing other songs that talk about joy. The scripture here, they relate to the fact that salvation has come and His name is Jesus. This good news that comes, that gives us great joy. And sometimes I think we forget that because we live now. And we forget that in this season that sometimes, again, we just need to slow down. To reflect, to remember, and to celebrate the fact that Jesus gives us joy. Again, all who call in the name of the Lord will be saved. All who confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead will be saved. We come in repentance. We come to the Lord and turn our hearts and our lives over to Him that He may be our Lord and our Master. And we do that, and we're born again, and we have access to this hope, this peace, and we have access to joy. I heard a joke recently. Why wasn't Jesus allowed in jewelry stores? Because He breaks every chain. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up bones. The thing is, often as Christians, we can look miserable. We can. I know I work on it as I drive. I have a scary driving face because I'm concentrating. But often, you know, we can get distracted and our face doesn't show that we're joyful. And so it's not just about expression. But I know in my own life, as I first experienced a traditional Pentecostal Ukrainian church service, in Ukraine, men on one side, ladies on the other, somber, sobering, silence, no smiles, no laughter, very, very strict. And then when they joined into praise, that changed. And I know, I don't know if you know me or you see me around. Sometimes I smile so much my face hurts. And often there are people in grocery stores that are like, what's wrong with you? Or they get self-conscious because I'm smiling. And they're like, why do you smile so much? I'm like, because I have joy. And sometimes I have to explain that I'm not laughing at them, that I'm just happy. But sometimes my face needs a rest because it hurts. And if you see pictures of me on Facebook, you see me with my lips closed. It's just because I'm taking a picture. I gotta look kind of serious. Speaking of the Ukrainian culture, it was part of their culture. It's part of that church's culture. And I didn't want to cause them to stumble or to bring offense. And so I just went along with it. Now, I'm also not a very expressive person, but I just, it caught me off guard to see them go from being somber and sober and silent, no smiles, and then to erupt in praise, and then go back to somber and silent and sobering. And our culture, our Canadian culture, isn't like that, but really our church culture shouldn't be like that. And our individual lives shouldn't be like that. So this can be a challenge to some of us. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to smile. It's okay to rejoice. It's okay to joke. But that's not where our joy comes from. Joy is much deeper than what goes on in our circumstances. Joy has great value. And it goes beyond what's going on. And really it does go beyond a smile. But smiles, they help too. Because I'm not talking about pasting on a smile in the midst of somebody mourning and you want to come and give them joy. That's a bad thing. Scripture actually tells us not to do that. To rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. So make sure you get it right. Because to go to somebody who's mourning and grieving, to be like, cheer up, everything's going to be okay, you're doing great, that is not a good thing. So just hear me out there. It's at the same time, I don't know if any of you know, have you ever watched Monty Python, Search for the Holy Grail, with the Knights of Ni? When he's standing there and individually he's losing limb after limb, and he continues to say it's only a flesh wound with a smile on his face. That's kind of silliness. So that, I'm not talking about that kind of situation. Because we go through trials. We go through circumstances. But our joy, again, is much deeper than that. James 1:2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. We also know that joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And when we're born again, it becomes part of our life. Where it was absent before, it's suddenly able to come and be more free and come out of our heart. At the same time, it's part of the kingdom of God. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so we know that joy comes from a relationship with Jesus and being redeemed and born again. And we have this joy that comes because we have hope. Romans 12:12a, it says, be joyful in hope. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, be joyful always. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. The thing is, God provides joy for us. He's our source of joy, but he also calls us to rejoice. And sometimes in our culture, as a Canadian culture, we can struggle with those two things. But God is our source. In one of the resources I was looking through this week, I found that there were 25 different Hebrew words and derivatives and 10 different Greek words and their derivatives that, that show us what joy is. So it's a hard word to kind of nail down. And there's over 150 references to joy using those differing words. But out of them, two main definitions appear. So if you have your outline, the first definition of biblical joy is gladness. Gladness in the Lord. Again, our source of gladness, our source of joy comes not from ourselves or our circumstances, but of the Lord, the King of Kings, the one who is above all, over all, and in all. At the same time, the dictionary defines joy as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness, contentment, or delight. And those words, they bring up the idea of emotions behind it, but they don't really get to the source of joy. S.D. Gordon is an author and minister from the turn of the century. Joy is distinctly a Christian word and a Christian thing. It is the reverse of happiness. Happiness is the result of what happens of an agreeable sort. Joy has its springs deep down inside. And that spring never runs dry no matter what happens. Only Jesus gives that joy. Simply put, happiness can be tied to our circumstances, but joy never should be. Did you hear me there? Happiness can be tied to our circumstances, but joy never should be tied to our circumstances, because joy comes from the Lord. You just have to think about verses like Matthew 5, 11 to 12, where it talks about persecution and the joy that comes in that and through that. Or in James 1 to 2, which tells us to find joy in various trials and suffering. Or the fact that there are numerous verses that connect Jesus and his suffering on the cross with joy. And so joy can't come from our circumstances, because being crucified is not an agreeable sort. Do you see that connection? But yet Jesus was joy-filled and had joy in mind. So again, happiness can be tied to our circumstances, but joy shouldn't be. Second definition of joy is rejoice. And so the dictionary again, it says rejoice is to show great joy or delight. So there's this idea of expression. Again, rejoice. From a Hebrew understanding, this idea of joy, it has emotions with it. It has commands with it. It has this idea of experience. And at the same time, there's this call to rejoice, to express. Rejoicing describes the outward expression of our internal joy. Again, I'll say that. Rejoicing shows the outward expression of our internal joy. So you have gladness in the Lord, this idea of joy. And you have the other side of that is rejoicing. And they're connected. And often if you look through Scripture, there are many, many examples of what rejoicing looks like. From leaping to shouting praises or crying out, not for crying out loud, but crying out loud. There's ideas of praising and singing and jumping. This idea of when you say hallelujah, there's a violent spinning that goes on. There's action that happens. And again, part of it in our culture, it's hard to break out of that. Like, I'm up here and I see myself dancing, but as you can see, I'm not jumping around. I'm just kind of in my mind, I am. And sometimes I have jumped around and I've hurt myself and thought that was difficult. But there's this idea of expression, to express the inward joy that we have, regardless of circumstances. Psalm 27:6. Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Psalm 33, 1-3 says, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. sing to him a new song, play skillfully and shout for joy. Psalm 47:1 says, clap your hands, all you nations, shout to God with cries of joy. And even Isaiah gives reference to joy being expressive. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the deaf ears. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. Again, this idea of leaping often is in the Old Testament. And I don't know if you've ever seen young cattle. I can't remember what a baby cow is called. When you see, what? Calf, sorry. When you see a calf, and they play, and they leap with joy. That's kind of the idea when it says in Scripture, this idea of leaping. I know that's a challenge. Many of us are stiff. But it's not just about expression, because you can dance and still be miserable. It's not about expression. It's about the two of them being linked together. Gladness in the Lord and our outward expression. Rejoicing flows out of gladness in the Lord, and our gladness in the Lord increases the more we rejoice. Again, rejoicing flows out of gladness in the Lord, and our gladness in the Lord increases the more we rejoice. So this morning I have 7 brief points. I'm not joking, but they're brief. And then we'll have a testimony at the end about joy in the Lord. So first of all, joy comes from God. Again, in your outline, joy comes from God, more specifically from the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says, you become imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever seen that before. It says again, in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. Paul's saying you became imitators of us and the Lord because you welcomed the message of the gospel, the good news, in the midst of severe suffering. Again, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So there's this idea again that our source of joy is not ourselves. Our source of joy is the Creator of all things. The source of joy that comes is given by the Holy Spirit, not only when we're born again, but also in our circumstances every day as we rely on the Lord and we walk according to the Spirit. Joy comes from God. Secondly, faith and obedience to God brings us joy. Faith and obedience to God brings us joy. Again, I've spoken multiple sermons, and they're interwoven with faith and obedience. I'm not going to rehash those this morning. But I just want us to look at these three things. There's this idea of faith and obedience. They include keeping his commands. John 15:10-11. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So there's again a connection there of keeping his commands. Commands that aren't burdensome. This idea that faith and obedience, they're part of our relationship with the Lord, and joy is affected if we are not obedient. Faith and obedience also include trusting him. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him. If you don't trust the Lord, peace, joy, hope, love, they can all elude you. Because if you never believe that he's trustworthy, then there's something going on in your heart to say, I don't trust you, Lord. And if you recognize that in yourself, don't run away from the Lord. Come to him and surrender to him. Even if you have to do it every day, every moment, until there's breakthrough. But trusting him is important. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then faith and obedience also include seeking after the things of God. So again, in your outline, keeping his commands, trusting in him, and seeking after the things of God. Romans 14:17 again says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." And Psalm 97:11 says, "Light shines on the godly, and joy on those whose hearts are right." Sometimes if we notice that we lack joy in our life, we need to take a step back, to ask ourselves some questions. Are we obeying his commands? Are we loving him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? Are we doing those simple things where love is the fulfillment of the law? Are we offering forgiveness where it's required? Are we seeking restoration for relationships that have been severed? Have we been able to prefer others above ourselves? Those are questions. When I think of obeying the commands of the Lord, it's not, do you go to church every week? Not in that kind of sense. But where's your relationship with other believers? How's your relationship with the Lord? Is there any severing that has occurred? Again, only you know that. Have you treated people like you would like to be treated yourself? Again, when I think of faith and obedience, and the fact that they are connected to joy, I have to ask those questions. At the same time, again, how's your trust of him? Do you trust that he will perform his word? Do you trust that what he says in his written word will come to pass? Do you trust that what he speaks to you in your quiet times are true? Is he trustworthy in your life? Again, I just mentioned that. And are you, or we all, are we seeking his things, the things he desires of us, or do we pursue our own life? So if joy seems to be missing, maybe you need to step back. And if you notice that, and you come to him, you don't run away from him, you come to him and say, "Lord, I blew it. I repent. I want to think differently of who you are. I want to think differently of my actions." And you come to him, and he heals you. He picks you up, and he says, "Let's try this again. You missed the mark last time. Let's try and get it on the bullseye this time." The idea of missing the mark is sin. It's the Greek word hamartia. We miss the mark. God doesn't shoot us again. He helps us so that we actually do hit the bullseye. Again, faith and obedience to God bring us joy. Thirdly, how much joy we experience relates to our closeness, to the closeness of our relationship with God. Now, this might seem touchy, but I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about intimacy and friendship with the Lord. And our closeness to God in that type of vibrant living relationship where he speaks to you as you drive and live and work and as you read his word and you're able to come even when you don't feel like it, but you do because you know that he is your king. So how much joy we experience relates to our closeness, to the closeness of our relationship with God. Peter also tells us our love and faith fills us with joy. 1 Peter 1:8, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." And so as we trust the Lord more and more, as we continue to pursue him in friendship and intimacy, not just coming to church, but as a friendship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As we do that, I've noticed even in my own life, joy has increased. And it's not because I'm checking off a box that says, okay, if I only spend time with the Lord, well, then he'll bless me more. It's not about that. It's about a desire in our hearts. And all of us as human beings go through ups and downs when we have to really step back and go, okay, Lord, am I as close to you as I would like to be? And I hope that all of us would say no, because there's always room for growth and growing and stretching as we're conformed to the image of the Son. John 16:24 says, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. So again, there's this idea of trust there. It's linked to our closeness. So where are you at today? In the closeness with the Lord. If you're not where you'd like to be, I think only you can change that. That's a hard thing to say. Only I can change that in my own life. Can't change that in your life, and you can't change that in somebody else's life. It's decisions that we have to make. Again, closeness with God results in loving him and his ways more deeply. But it doesn't affect your salvation. Your salvation is in Christ, not based on what you've done or didn't do. Fourth, sin hinders us from experiencing joy. After committing adultery, David cried out to the Lord. Psalm 51:7-12, it says, purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit in me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. That's why we always have to keep short accounts with the Lord. I really don't think that we ever outgrow those. Coming to the Lord, asking him to search our hearts, to show us if there's any wicked way in there, to search, to grow, to change, to challenge us. And he always comes with his grace and his mercy and his discipline. And he changes us. Don't let unconfessed sin rob you of joy. Did you hear me? Pursue the Lord. Fifthly, joy transcends our circumstances. It goes beyond them. I'll let you flip the page. Joy transcends our circumstances. It goes beyond our circumstances. In the same way that peace goes beyond our understanding, joy transcends our circumstances. We can all experience joy, regardless of what's going on. Like when Habakkuk, he's prophesying about the destruction of Israel, he says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there is no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fail and fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. And I think that sometimes when we're in those circumstances, because that happened. And sometimes in our own lives, that kind of situation can occur. And we have to actively choose to consciously focus on the Lord. Again, putting our mind's attention and our heart's affection onto the Lord, to actively choose. And sometimes our emotions then follow. Because even when we don't want to, if we do, our circumstances change because our focus again gets off of ourselves and onto the Lord. And joy is renewed because we remember, aha, it's not related to me or my circumstances. This joy comes from the Lord, and he'll get me through the circumstance, even though I don't feel like it and I don't see anything. Lord, I trust you. That's why trust is so important. Psalm 28, 6 and 7. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. Number 6. Joy helps us enjoy life and be grateful for everything that God has provided. Joy helps us enjoy life and be grateful for everything God has provided. When our gladness in the Lord, again, comes from him as the source, it does allow us to learn to be content with our circumstances. Not in the sense of, like, you know, the things I've just talked about intimacy. We should never be content where we're at with the Lord and always pursuing and growing, allowing him to change us and mold us. But being content, Paul talks about learning to be content. So it's a learned thing. But joy helps us to enjoy life and be grateful for everything God has provided. May the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Psalm 68:3. And then Ecclesiastes 5:19-20 says, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. They seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart. So again, it's another question. Where are we at with our gratitude to the Lord? In our own hearts, to be able to thank him for everything that he has done, even if we don't see the end result. Again, that we have faith in him, that we're able to come and thank him for everything. And the fact that, most importantly, that we thank him that we are now redeemed because of Jesus and we have salvation and that our deliverance comes. And finally, number 7, true joy can and should be shared with others. True joy can and should be shared with others. Again, Paul gives us instructions to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Romans 12:15. And we're not supposed to hide the expression that comes from joy. But again, don't paste a smile on your face. If you're mourning, allow others to mourn with you. And as I've already said, don't mix it up. Luke, he also gives an example of shared joy. Luke 1:58 is talking about Elizabeth giving birth to John the Baptist. It says, her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. So here's the bottom line. Joy is a result of a life lived for God. I'll say that again. Joy is a result of a life lived for God. How we express that will differ. We're different people and personalities, and what that looks like, you know, when the kids are running around. I'm not saying all of us need to run around like the children do, but maybe some of us do. At the same time, you know, our culture and our personalities, they do sometimes, not dictate, but I can't think of the other word, they influence how we respond physically. And you know what? It's okay. Each and every one of us are unique before the Lord, but he calls us to rejoice and to be glad. So this morning, I've asked Lori, declined to come and share, testify about joy in the Lord. And then we'll close today.
When Pastor Sean said, do you have any testimonies about joy? I was like, oh, maybe one or two. So I've actually picked three that really impacted my life. And the first one was we were at a conference, and we were going back to our hotel room. I'm in the van with all these people, and the joy of the Lord hits me. And I'm talking, I cannot stop laughing. It's bubbling out. I'm hysterical, and I'm like, okay, what is going on? So I'm in the van. Everybody else goes in the hotel. So there's me and my husband in the van, and he goes, I'm not taking you in the hotel because you laugh too loud. And it was late, and I didn't want to be disruptive. So I'm in the van, and after like 45 minutes, almost an hour of laughing, my back was hurting, and my back and my head was hurting, and my face was hurting, and like I actually was in pain. I was starting to hurt. And so I said, Lord, I want this to stop. And he goes, joy is your strength. Do you want to stop? And it was just like such a sobering kind of laughing thing. And it was like, no, I don't want it to stop. And then it stopped. But it was the choice that I said to him, no, I would rather laugh and be in pain than to be without this strength of joy. And then the next one was on a trip with Lou and Natalie. We ended up in this place that was a little different. And I'm standing in the lobby of this hotel, and all of a sudden the joy is hitting me. And I'm like, what is going on? I said to the ladies, I said, I got to go outside. I'm losing it. I'm out on the street, and I'm hysterically laughing all by myself on the sidewalk. And I'm like, what is going on? And it wasn't until we were actually back on the road leaving this place that the Lord said, your joy is warfare. Your joy is warfare. And it was like, oh, wow, that's amazing. And then the last one I want to share is a little bit more difficult because this isn't a place that you want to feel joy. I lost my mom 3 years ago almost. And I'm at the bedside with her and I'm holding her hand. And when I focused on the Lord, I was so full of joy, knowing where she was going, knowing she knew the Lord, knowing that I could picture her where she was going. And I could sing, and I would focus on him and feel joy, and I would feel peace that only comes from him. And I'm holding her hand, and I'm watching her last breaths and the deepening of the rattle, knowing death is coming. And I would look at her face, and I'd start to lose it. I would start to lose it, and then I would focus on him, and I'd get that peace, that word, that peace would come. And then I'd start to feel a joy. And when she took her last breath, I actually clapped my hands, and I lifted my hands up and celebrated my mother and where she was going, knowing that she just actually stepped into the presence of God. So joy can be like just crazy fun. Joy can be warfare, but joy also can be in grief. And I've experienced other kinds of joy, but the grief one, it really impacted me because I felt joy before I felt my grief. I celebrated her and celebrated God before my grief. And then once the celebration of her going was gone, then I got hit with the grief. But even in my grief, I can be joyful because I know where she is. And I have that assurance because I know him. I know him. So I know where she is. So I just want to release joy to you guys today. And if there's anybody in here that doesn't know him, I want to say you can know him and you can know him in those ways. And it's, you can even say yes right now. If there's anybody in this room, I don't want to sit down before I say that. If there's anybody in this room that doesn't know Jesus, now is the time to receive him. And if nobody raises a hand, that means that we can all know the joy of the Lord. We can all experience joy in so many ways. Like Pastor Sean, I forget how many definitions you said, but like there's so many ways to experience him, but those are three of the ways that I've experienced him. And the other thing was obedience. When Pastor Sean said it's obedience, The day that I was laughing in the van, there's times that I've been in front of this church and I can feel it coming and I'm going, no, no, not here. And it starts to come and it's like, no, I will not say no to you, Lord. And if I look foolish, then let me be foolish, because I will not say no to him when he brings it up. When I feel it welling up inside of me, I am not going to say no. So if you ever experience watching me in that state, know it's obedience. Thank you. Thank you.
No matter where you're at this week, no matter what's going on, no matter if this year has been a rough year, we can still have joy, because it's not because of what's going on, but our joy is seated in the Lord. True joy can only come from one source. And so as we're able to slow down and take the time to remember that joy is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Let's not forget that. As we're able to understand again, and I'll read them off for you. Joy comes from God. Faith and obedience to God brings joy. How much joy we experience relates to the closeness of our relationship with Him. Sin hinders us from experiencing joy. But joy transcends our circumstances, goes beyond them. Joy helps us enjoy life and be grateful for everything God provides. And true joy can and should be shared with others. This morning, It's an early day. I think that's the earliest. But I don't want you just to rush out. This morning, as you've been able to maybe even reflect on the last couple messages, hope, peace, joy, to understand that love encompasses it all, that we just take a moment. I'm going to call Carson up to go on the keys. Please, as we're able to take a moment, there's things in our heart that we just need to let go of, that we've been holding on to this year. Maybe it's a year of pain, difficulty. And if you want to, you can come and kind of as a step of faith, just bring it to the altar. Say, "Lord, I leave it with you." Again, you can also, in your seats, stand, kneel, lay on your face if you need to, but just come, allow the Lord, the peace of the Lord, to rest over you. Allow His joy to be in you, regardless of what's going on, whether it's great times or difficult times, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And have everybody stand. Father, I thank you. Thank you that you bring us joy that is not dependent upon what's going on. And Father, that even when we don't feel like it, you can stir things in our hearts. You can change situations. Father, we thank you. As we come in the next few moments, just being able to come before you, Lord, I pray that you'd stir our hearts, that you would continue to challenge us, to show us the things we need to lay down, the things we need to lift up to you. Have your way in Jesus' name.